let's turn our attention to education. Now, we've looked at things like the attainment gap between blind and partially sighted students and their sighted peers. There's always been issues, whether it's around mainstream education, support within classrooms, or indeed exams. Has the COVID lockdown or restrictions made that worse? Are things improving? Well, we have with us from RRIB, Kerin Sutherland. Thank you for joining us, Kerin.
Oh, my pleasure. Nice to be here. Thanks, Alan.
COVID has obviously affected many students, you know, around the globe. It really impacted on their studies and on exams as well. But I think when you bring sight loss into it, that impact can be exacerbated in a negative way. Is that a fair point?
Absolutely, it is a fair point. And I think it's been over 2 years now since students sat a formal exam in exam conditions, and teachers and schools had to go through the application process to make sure the right access arrangements were in place for those students that you're talking about with vision impairment who do need those extra things to be in place for it to be a level playing field. And unfortunately, we're hearing of quite a few scenarios where things just have not happened as they should. Papers haven't been modified to the right standard, modified papers haven't turned up, support access arrangements haven't been approved, haven't been in place. We're concerned with some of the things that we're hearing, and we really want to take some of these examples and work with Ofqual education sector and look to see how we can get things back to at least where we were before and then move things forward again.
It's kind of worrying that, you know, children are being affected in this way, and that has been exacerbated, if you like, by the restrictions that COVID has brought in. Because, you know, education, that's the building blocks, isn't it? You know, that's your, we're going on to further or higher education, it's employment prospects as well, and a lot more besides. But we think about the education and indeed the exams as well. It's a crucial time.
It really is a crucial time. And like you say, it's the building blocks for what comes next. And if we don't get that right, it's going to be even harder for some of these young people. We're very excited that we've launched and we're working on the curriculum framework for vision impairment. And that really clearly outlines the importance of early intervention and getting these skills in place with these students. But we then need the exam boards and other institutions to do their part to give them the opportunity to succeed and get those building blocks to success in place.
The work has been going on to do this even before COVID. You know, there's always a concern about that attainment gap and, you know, support in the classroom from things like qualified teachers of visual impairment. There has been a lot. Are the government listening? Are they aware of the problems? And more importantly, you know, are they signalling that, yeah, we will try to do something about this?
Are the government listening? We'd like to think so, because we are certainly, as you say, we've been doing a lot of work on this. We've been highlighting the risks and the issues. Our Freedom of Information every year highlights a worrying trend, growing caseloads, less QTVIs per caseload, so less availability of specialist input. The government in England anyway has the SEND, Special Educational Needs Disability Consultation paper out at the moment, which is another opportunity for us to really highlight the needs of these young people with a high need for specialist input as a response to this paper, and to stress to the government that they really need to make sure the funding doesn't continue to decrease and matches the need amongst the young people.
What's the next step then, Kerin? You mentioned the framework, obviously, and you're talking about some of the papers that have been published at the moment. Is that the next step? Is it getting involved more in these pieces of research, or are there other steps that charities or indeed individuals can take?
The consultations that government put out are open to families, young people, and as well as organisations to respond to. So we would welcome any input from families and young people who feel motivated to highlight the needs from a personal perspective. That would really support what the organisations in the third sector and the statutory sectors are doing. In terms of us at RNIB, I would like to do some focused work with the exam boards through Ofqual, looking at why we've seen a bit of a turn on some of these access arrangements and provision which we had in place. We need to continue highlighting these needs through any consultations that come out, and embedding the curriculum framework into practice and ultimately policy and guidance is our focus for the coming academic year.
Kirrin, there is a lot of work to do, but I'm sure there are people out there who do have concerns about their child's education, whether they're blind or partially sighted. Can they get in touch? Can they feedback to yourselves?
Absolutely. And obviously, we're sorry to hear that they need to, but we would really like to hear from people, because getting the personal stories, hearing about the scenarios that are going on, really gives us the evidence we need to go back to these big organisational bodies and illustrate the issues. So if you are having concerns or worries within the education sector, please do email us at cypf@rnib.org.uk.
Kirrin, let's hope that people do get in touch. It is a worrying time and indeed a crucial time as well. We'll continue to follow the progress, and thank you very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.